Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and on the line with us from Tampa, where he is participating in the Leadership Florida Conference, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. So just before we get into all the things that you and I are going to talk about, maybe just give folks the 30-second, you know, what is Leadership Florida and why'd you bother going there?
Yeah, Leadership Florida is like the programs you might have heard of, Leadership Pensacola or Northwest Florida. It's the state level group where about 45 people from all of the state and all different walks of life all come together to not only network, but to learn about our state and to build relationships. And as you know, Andrew, from whether it's politics or anything else, when we're stuck over in the central time zone as a state, it's pretty important to get out and build these relationships, and probably a little harder for us than anywhere else in the state. We've got great members. I mean, just a couple of examples of the leader of the Miami Children's Trust is in our group. I've obviously had some conversations with him. Erica Donald, Byron Donald's wife, who's heavy into education, is in our group, and many, many others. And so it's just a good way for the city of Pensacola to continue to stay connected to the state level and build relationships when they count and when they matter, to be able to pick up the phone and call someone.
Yeah, the ostensive reason for doing leadership programs is the information that you get, the education that you get, which is great. But the real value of these, everybody will tell you, is the people you meet, the connections you make, the relationships, and then the people you can reach out to when you need information or you want to get something done. And it is invaluable. So that's cool. I want to start with something that's probably to the general public, maybe a smaller issue, but I know you well enough to know that this is actually a major transition. You've had a couple of people leave the administration recently. Clark Merritt left, who'd longtime port director, assistant and then port director. And then, of course, we had David Forte leave, was your assistant city manager. Before that, he was in traffic. But you had a major loss of personnel from Alex Smith, who was your chief of staff. He's gone over to UWF. And, I know you guys have been tight like thieves for a long time. Though you're happy, I'm sure, for him, there's a part of you that's like, oh, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, listen, I think especially as I had, great folks as I was in through my 20s and 30s in journalism, and certainly, people like Quint, and I worked for them. Kind of like what you just said about Leadership Florida. I mean, half the battle is the fun of the job and getting things done. The other half is building and growing as a person. And so my joke about Alex has been the the next best thing to keeping someone forever for the rest of time is for people in our community to build their skills and develop and then go make even bigger impact somewhere else. Right. Yeah. And that's what we all want. And realistically is if you're not going to be with us or wherever you are, if that person grows and develops, isn't going to stay with you forever. The next best thing and a very, very close second is to go do great things somewhere else that helps the city, the region, the community. So I know he'll do that at UWF, and certainly excited for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex is super capable, and he's the only person in your administration that made you look old.
Exactly. That's right.
I just have a small recommendation request having to do with red light cameras. I know you don't have data yet for last month, and we're going to get that on next week or something like that. Could we maybe set up a website on the Pensacola page that just tracks, this is what the initial data was before we had them installed. This is what the, the warning time data was. And this is the citations we've given out on monthly is probably good enough per intersection or approach. And even include things like how many this month did PPD decline, just so we can track it over time along with you and don't have to always ask you, to publish the data.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. Of course, from the get-go, we had that conversation from a tracking standpoint. And listen, I it's self-policing for us. I want everyone to see either how bad they're doing,
right?
Because what's the big stereotypical false myth about this? This is a money grab. Well, if it's a money grab, then we have nothing to hide. We don't care. You can count revenue. You can do anything you want because we know where our goal is. Our goal is zero of these, and so. If there's revenue that's generated, what are we going to spend it on? Police and fire and improving intersections. So we're just going to be using dollars of people being irresponsible to try to make our city safer. So
and that could even be part of the website. How much money did you
exactly
collect? How much money did the service collect? And where did the money? I mean, all of that. Inform people.
Right. Right, exactly. So yes, well, we really wanted two things. Remember, we were trying to make sure we worked out the kinks of all of the intersections to make sure, you know, even the ones operating, and we still have one, I think, that's not up yet. And then second is, yeah, just to have enough of a sample size. But philosophically, absolutely, I think we're on the same page. Like you said, I don't want to be the manual reporter of this every week at a press conference. You know, I mean, we're happy to share those things all the time. We're just waiting till next week so we had a full month. We didn't want to confuse people because, you know, we would have put out data and then people would have said, oh, it was only this many in February. No, it was 6 days short of a full month. So we were just trying to keep the messaging and of what we're trying to tell people clean by sharing it next week. But no, great idea. And something we've talked about from the get go. And we'll probably get that up once we have a little bit bigger sample size.
John can confirm that earlier when I mentioned this on the show, I said, I bet they're already thinking about this, even as I'm suggesting it. And you are 100%. That's exactly right. I appreciate that. It seems to me like, well, one of the other stories that I know, I think I was maybe the first one to, like, in a news capacity to report it. And I don't know whether it's a big story or not, but seeing the I-beams moved underneath Graffiti Bridge is a big deal. To me, it looks like a major issue. But I assume the bridge is safe. You've said that the railroad has told you that the bridge is safe. And it certainly has brought up again this conversation about the very slow progress that has been able to be made on getting a warning system to stop the trucks from hitting it. But just on the safety level, as far as you know, the bridge is safe, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Obviously, you know, again, if we were given any indication that it wasn't or we're even unsure. And again, our people, I think this is the biggest misperception. We do not, I don't mean from you, but just from the general public, I think you understand that this is the rail company's bridge. You have to think about that. We don't own the bridge, right? So it's not ours. The same way that the state owns Three Mile Bridge, the Graffiti Bridge itself is owned by the rail company. They possess it. We couldn't go work on it if we wanted to without their permission, for example, right? It's not ours. So we could close the road, but so what do we do when there's a strike? It is their duty when there is a strike to have the bridge inspected both by themselves and by another third party.
Okay.
Someone else has to come in that's not them to look at it as well. So, you know, in a sense, to your point, hey, you see something that looks a little off, obviously always let us know. We'll never be mad because someone, you know, tried to alert of a potential safety issue.
Right.
It's important for our listeners and readers and our citizens to understand, you know, there's very limited things that we have to do with any of the maintenance or operation of this bridge. The only thing we can work on, segueing to your second part, is, you know, how do we try to decrease the amount of strikes on the bridge? And that's been slow moving just because of how many layers. And you probably heard my press conference, and for listeners that didn't, we have been told by FDOT that this warning system will be the first in the state of Florida, which I still don't believe.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, I agree.
I told them that. I was like, can you double check that before I go tell people that? Because right. I mean, it's hard to believe that there's no bridge in Florida that has an actual warning system that doesn't have warning signs. So, you know, I don't know if we should be celebrating that or not, Andrew.
Yeah, we're uniquely bad at navigating traffic infrastructure, apparently, here in Pensacola.
I mean, but I can see why, right? I mean, this is an old bridge. It's been there a long time, and it's only two lanes. I mean, so, you know, anything that's been built in the last, 30, 40 years wouldn't even have this issue, right? So I guess it makes sense in a way, but that's why it's been just layer after layer of what system goes in, where does it go on the curb? Is it physical or is it a laser system? Is it, and then where can we put the poles in the ground? Because we need that soil from the state to give them to give it to us. So it's a complicated mess that we can work through. We will work through. It's not going to not happen. It's just lots of layers to an unprecedented thing in the state of Florida, apparently.
And something you've mentioned before, which is totally relevant, is people in boats want to not have to hit something before they're going to the boat ramp because the boats aren't going to go under the bridge, but you don't want, you know, all of these little wrinkles are real problems. I wanted to talk with you about, first of all, kudos to your staff, PPD, everybody involved in the parade. I mean, the parade was great. You could clearly see things had been done to beef up defensive measures. Parking was, it was a mess, but I didn't see it being as much of a mess as I had been worried that it would be. So it seems like it mostly worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you didn't see your 45-minute Andrew McKay spot that we tried to save for you down there, 45 minutes in advance on the south.
No.
You must not have found it. But
I didn't,
No, you know what? Honestly, thank you for saying that. And our we got a lot of great comments from, I mean, to be honest, and I'm not trying to ignite somebody to send me a negative email, but we really heard very little negative response about the extension of East and West Main Street. And I mean, when I finished the parade on Saturday and came around Main Street, I mean, it is a completely different animal as it pertains to how safe it is when there isn't all of those cars moving alongside floats and hundreds of people on all four of those corners. I mean, it just looks significantly safer. So we got a lot of comments about just feeling safer. And isn't that what we want? I mean,
right.
At the end of the day,
right.
where you're sleeping, where you're parading, whatever, that should be at pretty much everybody, regardless of your party, regardless of your age or your race. We all want to feel safe. And it seemed like that was the feedback we got. And so we'll debrief. We'll see what, you know, if there's anything to get better. And I only kid, if there's something you saw that's a process improvement out there, certainly feel free to email us and we'll take a look at that when we debrief. But all in all, we're very thrilled with the result.
And I feel very dumb because right at the end of the parade, I completely failed to think about how I should have walked a block south and shot video of Main Street closed. It just didn't even occur to me. And now as you're talking about it, I'm like, oh, missed opportunity. So, oh, well, next year or summer or whenever we have our next parades. We don't have a lot of time on it, but you did get your bids in. They're unverified bids, so you don't want to get too excited about it so far. But bids in on the Baptist property demolition came in under budget enough that you are confident that you're going to be able to do it with the money that's available, right?
Right. We really looked at February 27th as kind of a green light, red light situation, right? Do we feel comfortable enough with the bids or not? We do. And again, they're verifying them. Can't share numbers. We have a bid protocol and process that we've got to go through. Can't say who or any of that. But
sure. All
we can tell you is it's a green light. And that, if we were to use my analogy, it's a green light right now, which we're obviously very, very grateful for and happy to hear because now it's just a matter of trying to get this thing done, get a donation agreement done, and get those buildings demoed.
One quick thing before we get to the lightning round. Do we have a target date to start the recycling program yet?
We were looking at mid-April. It might push to May 1st, but you're going to hear before in the coming weeks, you're going to start getting information from us about pricing.
Got
and
it.
You're going to start getting inundated with things in the mail about it. So you'll start hearing about it in the next probably 30 days.
I just suddenly had in my brain that it was March, and I'm like, it can't be March because we're here already. So, thank you so much.
Yeah,
and I know
we're talking about kind of a big formal launch no later than the first week of April. So it could be March, could be first week of April, and then the actual service probably starting in May.
Got it. We always like to end with some fun lightning round. To the extent that you've ever had the experience, is DC Reeves at all afraid of the basement, either hurries up the stairs or dreads going down?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, and, you know, I guess we always had that kid in you when you turn the light off, but do you even have a basement?
I don't, no.
Do we have those in Florida?
No. Yeah. Very few people have basements.
I guess when I'm traveling in the Midwest, yes, I'm nervous when I'm
all right.
In the basement.
The kid in you comes out. All right. You're walking down, let's say, Palafox. You see a penny on the ground. You leave it. You put it in your pocket. What's happened to that penny? How important is a penny to you?
I should stop reading data. This is what I think about with a penny. I was like, at 40 years old, am I going to throw my back out for this penny? Is it going to be, what's the risk? What is the value, the profit loss here of picking up this penny? So
you don't.
So the next question would be, what's the minimum, you know?
Well, what is your minimum coinage? What coin do you stoop for?
I'm willing to throw my back out, I don't know, for a quarter, I guess.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I 100% agree with you. And last one is leftover pizza sitting on the counter. Do you leave it sit out overnight? Do you put it in the fridge? Do you reheat it? Do you eat it cold? What's your protocol?
Normally in the fridge, and then the output ends up being either cooked or cold based on time. But I'm good either way, actually. I'll do it either way. If I got time, but I got to do the oven. I can't do the microwave. Got to do the oven.
Okay, so not the microwave, but in the oven. So you're kind of a pizza eating omnivore, like anything goes.
Right, I know, which is probably a sad state of affairs.
No. But, I admire the diversity. I mean, that's an inclusive answer, and I kind of like that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, sir, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again and have a next week, and have a great and productive trip in Tampa, and travel home safely.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.